Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is November 11, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about ECB's Benoît Carré to lead central banking digital currency initiative. U.S. Homeland Security taps Canadian blockchain firm to track oil imports. Ex-Cinnober blockchain lead joins Nordic crypto fund to bet big on Bitcoin. Moss, JP Morgan build payments system with inter-blockchain connectivity. Bittrex will release frozen crypto to former users in sanctioned regimes. Bitcoin price faces drop to $8,500 after consecutive weekly losses. Bakkt expands Bitcoin custody service beyond futures trading clients. How to turn a $17 million ICO into $104 million, the Cosmos story. Now let's get started. ECB's Benoît Carré to lead central banking digital currency initiative. Benoît Carré, outgoing member of the Executive Board of the European Central Bank, ECB, is to lead a new global effort by central banks to research the benefits of fintech such as digital currencies. The Bank for International Settlements, BIS, announced the news on Sunday, saying that Carré will take on the role of head of the BIS Innovation Hub, set up to foster international collaboration among central banks on innovative financial technology. The post is initially for a 5-year term starting in January 2020. Carré said in a statement, "I am very happy to be joining the BIS. I look forward to bringing my expertise to the global central banking community at this time of rapid technological change. We must make the best use of innovation to support financial stability and promote financial inclusion." The Innovation Hub has been given the remit of identifying important trends in fintech that could benefit central bank operations and developing public infrastructure to boost the institution's operations. Among the areas of focus are central bank digital currencies, global stablecoins, and other payment innovations. According to its website, the group will also look at regtech, electronic markets, the digitization of trade finance and the impact of big tech on financial intermediation, which, at a guess, includes the Facebook-led Libra project. The new hub chief has previously said that Libra has undoubtedly been a wake-up call for central banks and policymakers, arguing that they should respond to the challenges brought by global stablecoins. At the time, he acknowledged that Libra and similar efforts could help the unbanked join the financial system and make cross-border payments cheaper, faster and more transparent. However, he also cited a long list of potential risks such as money laundering, tax and consumer issues, as well as the threat to the financial policies of central banks. Carré also led a committee on payments and market infrastructure panel quizzing Libra over its planned scope and structure back in September. U.S. Homeland Security taps Canadian blockchain firm to track oil imports. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS, is contracting Canadian enterprise blockchain firm Avenit to build a cross-border oil tracking platform. Coming through DHS's Science and Technology Directorate, and with initial funding from its Silicon Valley Innovation Program, SVIP, the $182,700 contract will see Avenit retrofit its existing oil tracking platforms for use by the Customs and Border Protection, CBP, branch of DHS at the Canadian border. The project targets a massive cross-border import market. America is Canada's largest importer of oil, moving at least 120,000 barrels of crude oil per month through the first half of 2019, government data shows. Avenit, however, is years away from covering that broad market. The company will use this early funding to build a proof-of-concept demo for CBP. It could continue on through up to 2 years of demonstrations and pilot programs before field testing, during SVIP's fourth and final phase. Patrick Mandick, CEO of Avenit, told CoinDesk his company has been working in the space since 2015, including developing an on-chain natural gas platform for the Toronto-Montreal Exchange. He said this DHS project will help further the industry. This project is a strong building block to help a much-needed digital transformation of the ONG space, which is the big picture we are after. SVIP Technical Director Anil John explained in a statement that the Mavenet platform's digital auditability could be critical as web-based identification standards continue to develop. Accurately tracking the evidence of oil flow through pipelines and refinement between the U.S. and Canada and attributing oil imports with the accurate composition and country of origin are of great interest to CBP, John said. The investment is SVIP's latest blockchain space play. Previously, the R&D-focused fund, which does not take equity in its projects, awarded Texas Factum nearly $200,000 to deploy their blockchain-secured cameras and sensors along the border. Ex-Cinnober Blockchain Lead joins Nordic Crypto Fund to bet big on Bitcoin. Since Nasdaq acquired Cinnober last year, blockchain lead Eric Wall has left the exchange business for a Bitcoin investment fund, joining the Oslo, Norway-based Arcane Crypto, he told CoinDesk. Aimed at high-net-worth Scandinavians and institutional investors globally, the fund is an investment branch of Arcane, a crypto firm running a technology team, trading arm and a crypto news portal Cryptografen.com. Arcane Crypto CEO Torbjørn Bull Jensen is a widely cited crypto expert in Norway, and a white paper published earlier this year shows their team is watching the industry closely, but doesn't provide any clues to the investment strategy. Wall said that he could not disclose precisely which assets will be Arcane's focus, but that outperformance separate from the revaluation of Bitcoin would be the metric. I expect that the metric that really matters is how funds perform against Bitcoin. Once the dust starts to settle on that, it's going to be clear who's been swimming naked. Some altcoin could also make it into Arcane's portfolio, Wall hinted, but only those strictly selected. We are seeing a maturing trend in the altcoin market. It's already very different now than it was a few years ago. It's becoming harder and harder for technically inept projects to fake it till you make it. There's only in a very few, select areas in the cryptocurrency design space that has merit to compete against Bitcoin. Rather than measuring performance against fiat, the goal is to trade digital currencies to increase the size of the portfolio, in Bitcoin. Arcane Crypto was founded by Norwegian investors Kjetil Skorsted and Christian G. Lundqvist, and also funded by Morten Klein, a poker player and chairman of the Swedish casinos company Cherry, in an undisclosed round this April. All three investors are from Norway, hence the Scandinavian slant of the fund. Wall had spent more than 3 years at Cinnober, a company selling tech solutions for stock and crypto exchanges, and was used to explaining crypto to people in traditional finance, but in English, not in Norwegian. We will have a special focus on the Nordics, but it's not exclusive, Wall added. Moss, JP Morgan build payments system with inter-blockchain connectivity. The Monetary Authority of Singapore, MAS, the city-state's central bank, has completed development of a blockchain-based cross-border payment system that can support a range of currencies. Carried out as part of the ongoing Project Ubin initiative, the prototype platform was developed in partnership with investment banking multinational JP Morgan and Singapore government-owned investment firm Temasek. It's now being tested to see if it lives up to its promise as a means to cut costs for businesses and to gauge its ability to connect with different commercial blockchain applications, Moss said on Monday. The project has been some time in the works, with the second phase of the project announced back in 2017. Earlier tests had involved Moss and a group of major banks, with blockchain startup consortium R3 and professional services firm Deloitte also involved. Originally focused on digitization of the Singapore dollar using blockchain, the project moved on to look at the tech's potential to support a real-time gross settlement system like those used by central banks. With Ubin now in its fifth phase, Moss said the payments prototype will provide interfaces for other blockchain networks to connect and integrate seamlessly. It's also been built to offer additional benefits such as delivery versus payment (DVP), settlement with private exchanges, conditional payments and escrow and payment commitments for trade finance. We hope this development will encourage other central banks to conduct similar trials, and we will make the technical specifications publicly accessible to accelerate these efforts, said Sapnendu Mohanty, Chief FinTech Officer at Moss. We look forward to linking up with more blockchain networks to improve cross-border connectivity. This will be a big step forward in making cross-border transactions faster, cheaper, and safer. With the code now developed, over 40 companies from within finance and elsewhere have been working to ascertain the commercial viability and overall value of the platform. JP Morgan indicated that work on its own blockchain initiative for internal business payments, which utilizes a dollar-pegged stablecoin, has informed work on the Ubin project. John Hunter, global head of clearing and interbank information network at JP Morgan, said, "By leveraging our key learnings from building the interbank information network and the JPM coin, JP Morgan is well positioned to support the development of a blockchain-based payments network and operate at scale. Plan for early next year." Professional services giant Accenture will publish a report on the project, listing the potential use cases for a blockchain payments platform and setting out additional features that could be built into the system. The technical specs for the platform's connectivity interfaces will be made freely available under the Apache license version 2.0. Bittrex will release frozen crypto to former users in sanctioned regimes. Crypto exchange Bittrex is looking to return crypto holdings to customers in sanctioned nations. According to a letter posted on Twitter by ex-user Zia Sauter, Bittrex is reaching out to former customers who reside in a country or region in which the exchange is legally unable to offer services due to the U.S. Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC, and whose accounts were suspended as a result. In May of 2018, Bittrex filed an application to permit it to release the funds currently frozen back to the owners. "This application was recently granted and we are writing to let you know that you may withdraw your funds to another exchange," the letter said. A number of restrictions apply for any former customers hoping to secure their funds. Residents of sanctioned nations must create an account at a cryptocurrency exchange that is not in Iran, Syria, Cuba or Crimea or otherwise subject to OFAC sanctions, create a Bittrex support account using the same email as the original Bittrex account, and fill out a form denoting where to send the funds. Even then, users whose wallet balances are below the exchange's minimum withdrawal limit will still not be able to access their funds. The minimum withdrawal amount must be 3 times the transaction fee, according to a May 2018 support page. Those users who are able to withdraw their funds must submit the request to Bittrex by March 15, 2020. Bittrex has previously acknowledged that residents from Iran, one sanctioned nation, were able to trade on the exchange. In April, Chief Compliance Officer John Roth told CoinDesk that an unintentional gap on the platform's compliance procedures allowed Iranian residents to participate on the platform, though no user from the country or any OFAC-sanctioned region had been able to access the platform since October 2017, which is when SADR's account was suspended. The exchange did not disclose how many users had their accounts suspended as a result of OFAC's actions. In response to a request for comment, a spokesperson sent CoinDesk a statement stating, "Bittrex must comply with federal economic sanctions which prohibits U.S. companies from economic transactions with residents of certain countries. Bittrex has received permission from the U.S. Office of Foreign Assets Control to allow eligible customers to withdraw funds to another exchange. Affected customers will be contacted directly." Bitcoin price faces drop to $8,500 after consecutive weekly losses. View: Bitcoin's consecutive weekly losses and multiple failures at key resistance have shifted risk in favor of a drop to around $8,550 and perhaps as low as $8,000. Daily chart indicators have turned bearish for the first time in over a month, supporting the case for a deeper decline. A high-volume move above $9,335, descending trendline from 2019 high, is needed to revive the bullish view. Bitcoin is looking south after back-to-back weekly losses and multiple rejections at key price resistance. The top cryptocurrency by market value fell 2.6% and 3% in the weeks ended November 3 and 10, respectively. Importantly, BTC has also failed for 3 straight weeks to close Sunday, UTC, above the 3.5-month trendline sloping downwards from the 2019 high of $13,880. Acceptance above that hurdle would have meant a revival of the bull market set in motion by a solid break above $5,000 in early April. The inability to pass that level, currently around $9,335, has weakened the bullish case put forward by the high volume rise from $7,300 to $10,300 on October 25-26. Markets usually test dip demand after multiple rejections at key resistance, and Bitcoin is already feeling the pull of gravity. At press time, the cryptocurrency is trading at $8,680 on Bitstamp, representing a 1% drop on a 24-hour basis. Losses could be extended further with the 200-day moving average support now breached. The barometer of long-term market trend is currently located at $9,236. Other technical indicators have also turned bearish over the weekend. BTC is losing altitude, having faced rejection at the descending trendline for three straight weeks. The 14-week relative strength index (RSI) remains in bearish territory below resistance at 53.00. It's worth noting that the 53.00-55.00 range acted as a strong support throughout the 20,162,017 bull run. Hence, a move above 55.00, if and when it occurs, could be taken as a confirmation of bull market. Bitcoin's failure to hold above the descending, bearish 5-candle MA above left, as represented by the October candle's upper wick, is translating into a price drop, as expected. The MACD histogram on the daily chart right has crossed below zero over the weekend and is currently signaling at its most bearish since October 3rd with a minus 59.00 reading. The RSI is currently bearish below 50. BTC has also found acceptance below the 200-day MA, a level that acted as strong support in the 9 days to November 7th. All in all, BTC appears on track to test and possibly breach the 50-day MA at $8,552. A violation there would expose the psychological support of $8,000. On the higher side, a convincing move above the 3.5-month descending trendline hurdle, currently at $9,335, is needed to confirm a bullish breakout. Bakkt expands Bitcoin custody service beyond futures trading clients. Bakkt is ready to store customers' Bitcoin. Intercontinental Exchange's Bitcoin subsidiary announced Monday it would provide custody services for institutional clients. Pantera Capital, Galaxy Digital and Tagomi have already signed on as initial customers for Bakkt Warehouse, with other marquee firms expected to join over the next few weeks. When it first launched, Bakkt was only able to provide custody services to clients trading its Bitcoin futures contracts. Monday's news comes amid an additional approval by the New York Department of Financial Services, NYDFS, which previously granted the company a trust charter. In a blog post, Bakkt COO Adam White wrote that a critical link in the institutional adoption of Bitcoin is custody. When investors have ready access to regulated custodians whose security and processes they trust, the full potential of this emerging asset class and technology can flourish, he wrote, adding, "While technology provides the foundation by which we securely store customer funds, the Bakkt warehouse employs extensive physical, operational and cybersecurity safeguards too. Our relationship with Intercontinental Exchange, NYSE, ICE, a Fortune 500 company that owns and operates the market infrastructure upon which the world's largest financial institutions already rely, enables us to uniquely address client needs in the digital asset custody space. Bakkt employs a number of safeguards and security features, including dedicated network connectivity between operational sites, redundant secondary facilities, geographically distributed signing operations, independent reporting structures and a number of other features," White claimed. There's also 247 video monitoring, armed guards and security operations and incident response teams, the post stated. Bakkt has mentioned a number of these features before. The company is working with BNY Mellon to support its geographically separated key storage feature, according to a late August blog post. While BACT had already secured insurance for up to $100 million in assets prior to its futures launch in September, the company announced Monday that a leading global syndicate of insurers is now providing it with a $125 million policy. Rapid expansion. BACT's announcement Monday comes just weeks after the company said it would begin offering options on top of its existing Bitcoin futures contracts, which in turn came less than a month after the company went live with its long-anticipated physically delivered offerings. The company has since announced it is developing a consumer app for users to purchase goods with Bitcoin, starting with Starbucks, with a release date in the first half of 2020. While a number of other companies are developing their own platforms for physically settled Bitcoin futures in the U.S., BACT has been the only one to launch so far. CME Group, which has offered cash-settled Bitcoin futures since December 2017, meaning customers receive the fiat equivalent to the contract's value at expiration, rather than the actual Bitcoin, also announced its intention to add options contracts on top of its futures recently. The new products speak to a growing interest in Bitcoin as an asset class from custodians, the companies have said. At BACT, we're committed to expanding access to the global economy by building trust in and unlocking the value of digital assets, White wrote Monday. The secure custody of digital assets is foundational to that mission and our solutions for customers. Whether it's creating the first regulated market for the price discovery of Bitcoin, or developing platforms that allow merchants and consumers to seamlessly interact using digital assets, custody is at the core of everything we do. How to turn a $17 million ICO into $104 million, the Cosmos story. The Interchain Foundation, ICF, raised $17 million in April 2017 to shepherd the development of the Cosmos Network, a system for making blockchains talk to each other. Following the sale of its Atom token, the ICF has funded a cast of supporting players, like Agoric Systems Operating Company, which the ICF invested in for traditional equity, and Tendermint, to build the underpinnings of the project's interoperable aspirations, the Inter-Blockchain Communication (IBC) protocol. The goal is to be well-positioned for a multi-chain future. I could have a contract on one chain participating in selling assets on another chain, selling it to a private consortium in another stack on some other platform, explained Agoric CEO Dean Tribble. But while the technology is still under development, the Atom sale has proven remunerative nonetheless. We initiated a hedging strategy to roughly hold half the crypto in fiat, ICF technical director Ethan Bucky Buckman told CoinDesk. But it took us a while to start liquidating, and in a year or two, it appreciated very significantly. In our bank accounts, we have more than the original raise. The gains speak to an undertold truth of the 2017 initial coin offering ICO boom. Companies with conservative treasury management outperformed those who sought fast growth through marketing. To date, we still have over 1,400 BTC, over 50,000 ETH and just over 20 million Atoms in the treasury, ICF director Ariane Fleming told CoinDesk. At today's prices, that's worth over $104 million. And that's even after the nonprofit deployed $25 million in capital to fund over 50 projects, Fleming said. Laying the groundwork. Tribble, an alumnus of Microsoft, believes making it easier for mainstream developers to write smart contracts with JavaScript will foster broader blockchain adoption. If Cosmos is to truly become a highway connecting distinct proof-of-stake blockchains, it's going to need a common tongue. This could even include a Bitcoin-shaped placeholder, via the wrapped tokens being developed by the cross-chain working group. Both Tribble and Buckman say they don't view ICF's Atoms as capital, they just want to use them to participate in the Cosmos system. Buckman told CoinDesk Atoms are merely a tool to incentivize governance participation as the network gears up to support the interoperability the Cosmos network was envisioned for in 2020. Right now, it's mostly testing, and the only function the network can accomplish is distributing Atoms to participants and moving them around the network. At one point, Tendermint held roughly 8% of the tokens, according to head of research Zaki Manian. But he is not committed to, nor reliant upon, that network for his company to accept software development clients. We made the software that allowed for the initial standing of the Cosmos network, Manian told CoinDesk. Whether it continues to use the software we make or pivots to someone else's software is entirely up to the network. Manian said Tendermint may pursue unrelated software development contracts in the near future. I think there are many viable businesses in the Cosmos network and Tendermint could never do all of them, Manian said, adding, I think one downside of the Zcash approach is that by associating the brand of the electric coin company and the open source technology so closely together, you occupy the brand association and space around the protocol. It doesn't create an opportunity for other companies to feel like they could own this thing. The laissez-faire approach appears to be paying off. Nearly 30 network validators routinely participate in network upgrade votes. That ratio is far higher than the Maker Foundation's governance system, for example, with roughly the same number of voters but more than twice the amount of contracted employees and thousands more general users. Key expenditures. Beyond treasury management, the ICF has done a remarkable job of buying goodwill. Most notably, the ICO money wasn't spent on marketing. Atoms are listed on several mainstream exchanges including Binance, but both parties denied any solicitation or payment took place to facilitate the listing. On the contrary, Binance signaled its own interest in Cosmos by operating as a validator. Instead, the foundation paid researchers at the University of Lugano and the University of California, Berkeley, invested in three adjacent startups such as IrisNet and donated to the public policy nonprofit Coin Center. Basically, it cemented links with like-minded companies and compensated established experts in a variety of fields for contributing to Cosmos. Plus, some of the funds went to hackathon prizes and legal fees. We've heard from a few different regulators in different jurisdictions, ICF's Buckman said. We've received some requests for information and responded quite diligently. It seems like so far we're on good terms. Looking forward, ICF and all of the above-mentioned projects still have several years of runway in the bank. Regardless of whether Cosmos eventually becomes usable for anything beyond experiments, this case highlights the benefits of separating business models from specific cryptocurrencies. Across a variety of token-funded companies surveyed by CoinDesk in 2019, Cosmos exhibited a common theme among projects that had yet to pivot or downsize. Tendermint was founded long before the sale, in 2014, bootstrapping its way to a venture capital raise of $9 million in 2019. Its survival isn't dependent on the price of atoms. Likewise, the foundation isn't looking to the token as a long-term revenue source. With engaged and active participants like Binance, the node infrastructure provider Blockdaemon, Polychain Labs, and Bison Trails of the Libra Association, the network has dozens of stakeholders across the blockchain industry. Yet none of them depend strictly on Atom tokens as their sole business model. We are exploring ways to approach financial sustainability more directly, which might include some type of revenue-generating activity, not directly within the foundation, Buckman said. We took a very strict policy of not engaging with exchanges about listing. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.